listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee, though no one pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee, though no one pursue.
Right.
But the righteous are bold as a lion.
That's right. And I go by those words. I go by exactly by that. You know, faith without works is dead. What good is my faith if I'm not using the works? I have to get out there. I have to help. I got to be part of the solution. I can't complain about this stuff. I got to be part of the solution. Amen.
So tell us another story, miraculous story of somebody who was addicted and they came out of prison and you helped them.
Well, there's so many of them. I got a guy right now that lives with us 4 or 5 years. He was at the Red Roof Inn. He made a phone call. This guy worked for an agency here in Fort Pierce for 18 years. He made a mistake. He got lonely. He got drunk. He got on the phone. He thought he was talking to a lady. He was talking to an undercover police officer. He doesn't have a victim. He never touched anybody. And the next thing you know, he gets arrested. He does 5 years in prison. Guy didn't even got a speeding ticket. Did 5 years in federal prison, and he's got life parole. He calls me up. He says, "Well, I'm looking for a place." I said, "Okay, get ready. Are you ready?" He said, "Well, I said, you better be ready because I'm coming in 15 minutes to pick you up." So we pick him up, and now he's living with us. He's my driver. He's my administrative assistant. He's been with me almost, I guess, close to 6 years now. He's just got a relationship back with his daughter, his ex-wife. He's got a granddaughter. He's not able to see her, but he's able to talk to her on the phone. And he's like a right-hand man. He works with us.
What can you possibly do, though, if there's no victim and he was only on the phone with somebody? What could he possibly have done to get 5 years and to be on parole for the rest of his life?
He did some stuff. I don't know. I don't exactly know the crime. I never read his affidavit, but he had to do something on the internet, maybe show his body parts, maybe something like that. It wasn't children. He wasn't involved with children and pornographic children material. He's a labeled sex offender. I have another guy that's in my program. He's 21 years old. He went to jail when he was 17 because he had sex with his girlfriend who was 16. The mother found out. He got arrested, and he's been in prison until he was 21. I just took him out.
I'm sorry, but that's not right because I got to tell you something. What about the Romeo law? I mean, you know, boys, he was only 17. He wasn't even an adult yet himself. Right. That's not right.
Right, but he went to prison. He didn't have the right proper representation or whatever the case may be. I don't know the past. I only know what I see when they call and I meet them. They tell me these things, and I'm not going to go and reference it. It is what it is. You're in front of me. Learn how to put his shirt on backwards the other day in the meeting. I said, "What are you doing?" "Well, I don't care. I'm an idiot anyway." "Really? Go inside, put your shirt on right, and tomorrow make sure you shave yourself when you come in front of me." You got to teach these people discipline. They hate themselves. They've been told they're no good. "You're a sex offender. You're a chomo. You're no good. Look at you." A lot of these people made some seriously bad mistakes under the influence. And a lot of them are bad people. I don't know. But it's not for me to judge. Who am I to judge? I don't want to be judged. Those who judge will be judged. I don't want, you know what I mean? I'm forgiven. The blood has washed me clean.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I remember when the reason I'm talking about Mike Tyson, I interviewed him a number of years ago, but he was a broken man. And then I just watched this documentary recently and I didn't realize, I mean, like nobody ever invested a positive word to him. He learned how to fight to survive. It was just ugliness upon ugliness until one man, this older fat guy, Cuss, whatever his name is.
Customato.
Yeah, he starts telling me, he says, "I didn't know what he was saying," but he would say, "You're going to do this. You're going to be great. You've got the talent." Finally, then suddenly he had an awakening and realized what he was doing. He was telling this. And he started to believe in himself. But it took one voice, you know, one voice can change, pull a soul out of hell, you know?
It becomes a divine appointment. That's what happens. You don't even recognize that that's happening. If you just start to believe, what are the choices that these people have? They come to me and I tell them, what choice? Listen, if there's no barbed wire here, you don't like what's happening here, I'll see you later. We're not going to hold you hostage. I'll see you later. Either that or this is the way we got to live here. If you don't want to live like that over here, if you don't want to allow me to give me a shot to try and help you, then go ahead. Do it yourself. No big deal. It's okay. I'll go home. It's all right. We're not going to hold you hostage. I'm not going to, you know, yell at you, aggravate you. You know, you do what you got to do. If not, I'll see you later.
Wow. This is amazing, amazing. Just amazing stories of conversions. So what else do you want people to know about? Now, this Plant the Seed Ministries, are you looking for funding from people?
No, I'm not looking for nothing. I don't. We're self-supporting. I don't want nothing. I'm here for you. I'm here to be of service to you. I don't want anything. If somebody has an issue, they need help, look us up. You know, give me a call. We only take men now. They got to be over the age of 18. If we have a bet.
Why did you decide to do men only?
Well, it was men and women. My wife was helping me. And then I got to this age of 65, and I started telling myself, you know what, Law? How many years you want me to do this? Maybe we need to slow down a little bit. And we said, you know, the women were very troublesome at times. They caused different problems because the men and women, and they would sometimes leave together. And I said, you know what? We're not helping nobody for doing this. I said, we did the women for about 10 years. I said, you know what? We'll just stay with the men, what we know, and we'll try to get men that are capable of working and getting on their own so we don't have to be with them. Because I was there every morning, 6-7 days a week, then go home, come back at night and teach again. So I said, you know what? I don't know if I really want to do that. I would prefer that they go out to work and then come home and then we do night meetings. And that's been working so far for a number of years. But we don't need anything. I'm not looking for nothing.
Well, how are you going to retire? Did you put money aside somehow or?
Well, what happens? Well, I get a small check because I work a little bit in my life. I get a small Social Security check. Retirement to me means when I go to heaven, when my heart doesn't work and the Lord calls me, I'm going to heaven. That's when I'm retired. Right now, you know, the church helps me. The Plant the Seed Ministry helps me, you know, eat and things like that, put gas in my car sometimes. But I don't care. This ain't a get-rich-quick scheme. You know what I'm saying? You want to do what I do, you got to do what I do. It's like, it's the same Burger King. You can't have it your way. We have to do things differently to help these people.
Do you think it's true, the scriptures say, when one soul is saved, all of heaven rejoices?
Without a doubt. The angels are clapping, rejoicing. The angels are singing, rejoicing, and very happy. I believe now, that.
So was there one point in time where you surrendered to the Lord? That's what I'd like to know. You went along. You were addicted to alcohol till you were in your 30s. What finally happened that made you fall to your knees at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak?
So I was in my room. I was up for about 2 weeks smoking crack. I didn't sleep. I was in this room about 2 weeks. My father held the house in Flatbush, Brooklyn, and I was up in that room, and I was too embarrassed to let anybody see me like this. So my father went to work, and my cousin and a friend of mine bum-rushed the door and came up to my room and said, look, we got a place for you to go. I looked at both of them, and I said, you know what? Let me take a shower. I went in the shower, came out. They drove me to a hospital in Fair Oaks Hospital in Summit, New Jersey, from Brooklyn, and I was done. I had enough. It was December 21st, 1989.
But what about the Jesus factor? When did you get connected? When did you get, quote unquote, born again to Jesus?
Okay, so I'm chairing an AA meeting at the Bayshore Club. Yeah. And there's a guy in the audience that I used to run with in Brooklyn raising his hands wanting to speak. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to see this guy. So I says, we got a nice way of closing. And we prayed and we got out of there. I went through the back door. I got in my car. I ran. I said, I don't want to see this guy. I don't know what this guy's doing. Next Thursday comes. He raises his hand again. I said, we got a nice way of closing. I go out the back. He comes and confronts me. So what's the matter with you? Don't you remember who I am? I said, yeah, but where you been? He says, I've been in Dannemora prison, Clinton in New York. I did time. He said, where you been? I said, I've been getting sober. We started talking. The guy wound up living down the block from me. I didn't even know. He was in walking distance from my house. So I told my wife, I said, look, he started talking to me about the Bible. I said, do me a favor with that Bible. Get away from me. And then I started listening. Because this guy, me and him, were in the street together. It took a guy like him to get me to be introduced to Jesus. So that's what really happened.
Well, what did he say?
That he said, "Look, do you tie?" I said, "What is that?" And he started telling me about tie. And I said, "You know what? I'm going to talk to my wife. Maybe you and your wife come over to my house and start telling me about this." So that happened. So now we get to Mother's Day, and one day my son, he was going to a Lutheran church. He was like 3 years old. He come home. He said, "I want to die." I said, "You want to die? What do you mean you want to die?" I said, "You want to die? What do you mean? What's going on here, Lori?" I told my wife, "I'm going to that church to find out what that lady's teaching my son." So I go there. I meet with the pastor. I said, "You know, your son, he loves Jesus. He figures if he dies, he could go see him. He loves him so much." I said, "What?" She said, "Why don't you come to our Bible information classes and learn a little bit more?" So we went to the Bible information. What's a Corinthian? What's a Philippian? I'm from Brooklyn. I don't know none of this stuff. What is this? I started learning more and more. So Mother's Day came, and I said to my wife, "What do you want for Mother's Day?" She says, "I want to go to your friend's church, Assembly of God Church." And then it started. I gave myself to the altar. I couldn't stop crying. And then from that day on, anytime that church was open, I would be there knocking on the door, asking the pastor if I could come in. "Hey, can I come in? Hey, I learned this today. Hey, I learned that today. Hey, oh, the Bible's telling me this." I was so excited about this Jesus thing.
I got to tell you, I'm excited to have met you, Pastor Al.
Thank you.
And yeah, I think it's wonderful what you're doing. If somebody is addicted who's listening to this or viewing this, or they know someone who's addictive, or they were addicted and they want to help out, how do people get in touch with you?
I'll give you my phone number on the air, 772-486-0733. That's my cell phone. I will answer that phone. And then I have a website. It's PASministries.com. P as in Paul, A as in Albert, S as in Sam, ministries.com. Go on the website or email me at plantaseedal@bellsouth.net. And I'll answer.
@bellsouth.net.
Give the phone number. 772-486-0733.
Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Thank you for what you're doing. I hope we get to meet face to face sometime.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Al. And thank you, Michael.
God bless.
Michael the Greek there, Michael Simmons. Thank you for bringing him in today.
Thank you.
All right. Today's broadcast brought to you by Center for Advanced Eye Care, eye doctors that genuinely care about your eye care.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Around Town Magazine, celebrating 48 years. On the cover, PLM Construction, Patsy Meltzer, owner, builder, 50 years building homes with a heart. On the back cover, Jim Research Institute, Mark Goldstein, MD, working to end Alzheimer's disease. Florida Lifestyle with Spirit of Sebastian, Ryan Homes, Holiday Builders, Senior Living, Aviva, Independent Living, and Hidden Lakes with the future in medicine and healthcare. Theater, art, museums, travel, attractions, dining, bon appetit. Around Town Magazine is power packed. Copies are now available.
Flows from his throne.